Welcome to Road Science. I'm your host, Michael Faries. Thank you for listening to Road Science, the podcast series from Transport Topics that explores the trends and technologies that are shaping the future of trucking. Before we dive into today's episode, we'd like to invite you to subscribe to Transport Topics, where you can receive exclusive access to our top 100 lists, quarterly magazines, and other news surrounding the trucking industry. To subscribe, visit ttn.ws/TT subscribe. You can also text TT subscribe to 571-622-0001 to become an official member of Transport Topics. That's 571-622-0001. One trend in technology that has shaped the industry for several years has been sustainability. An initiative to lessen greenhouse gas emissions is a benchmark set throughout logistics. More than ever, customers are demanding greener strategies from companies, especially carriers, who are also balancing a shift in demand in the B2C and the B2B markets. For fleets, how are they offering and promoting sustainability to internal and external customers? And where will the new dynamic in e-commerce shipping take the industry in the future? So for this episode, we'll ask, how can logistics optimize sustainability for the trucking industry? For that answer, we'll speak with someone who has been keeping an eye on market conditions and will give his perspective on what sustainability means for the logistics industry. DHL Express US CEO Greg Hewitt. Welcome to Road Science, Greg.
Thanks, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you on. One of the things that's really been telling in the market for the last few months, well, I would say probably years in the making, actually, is the effects that are coming out of the pandemic with B2C volumes, shipping volumes growing exponentially. Compared to the B2B volumes right now that are sort of in flux. With that, you know, with that shift in shipping dynamics, Greg, you know, what is, DHL doing in the sense of, you know, fleet operations to adjust to that particular dynamic?
Well, Mike, I think you're right. When you look at things, global trade continues to normalize following the pandemic-related boom. We all saw such a big lift then, and we've been watching it change and normalize over the last couple of years. But overall, the recovery of the global economy has so far failed to materialize, I guess, against the backdrop of higher interest rates, maybe some geopolitical crises around the globe, and of course, the election that will go on here in the United States. So we've had to kind of be nimble and plan for a number of different scenarios early on. And I would say in the current market environment, what we need to do and what we focus on is keeping a close eye on costs and productivity while continuing to invest in growth areas of our global business and in our service quality. And I think we're in a very good position and we're well prepared for that moment when maybe the full global economy recovers. When I look at what's going on early in 2024, you noted this in your intro, We continue to see business to consumer volumes or e-commerce being the engine of growth and propping up the market, while traditional business to business industry segments like automotive, engineering and manufacturing, high tech continue to be a little bit soft and a little bit slow. So that means we've got to make sure we're doing the right things for consumers who are buying goods online and supporting this e-commerce boom, most notably things like fast fashion, which seems to be a big driver with companies like Shein and Temu. Where a lot of Americans with a strong U.S. dollar are buying goods from overseas, having them come in here and need to be delivered. We've got to make sure that our products, our services, our capabilities make for a great delivery experience for those consumers.
You know, you mentioned Temo. I guess the appeal is definitely to the U.S. consumer. You know, shop like a millionaire. That's their tagline. And I guess they're doing that in droves. During the pandemic, we were introduced to this new normal. And I guess, you know, for some people, they were caught flat-footed in that sense. And now with this, I guess this is our new regular dynamic where we're going to have a large B2C contingent when it comes to service. And knowing that, Greg, and what you were just speaking about, just sort of the alignments that your company is making in that, could you give me some more insight just on the advancements and innovations that DHL Express is doing when trying to help fleet operations in this new normal?
Yeah, I think the biggest, if I were to put one word to it, it would be digitalization.
Okay.
In order to be successful in this segment, I think you need to invest heavily in technology. You need to be very well set up on the front end to have your APIs and your systems plug in seamlessly to these online marketplaces or e-shops, so that somebody that's selling goods online can produce a shipping label, get accurate costs both for the shipping but also landed cost for an international destination, get updates that they can provide their consumers around track and trace and transit time information. You need to make sure that works. Then on the back end, a couple of things. One, we have something we call on-demand delivery, mm-hmm. which allows for the consumer then to have great access to understand everything about the shipment that's coming into them. Do I owe any duties and taxes that I could pay in advance to have it come faster? Are there any delays or information they need from me to clear customs smoothly? And even up to being able to say, listen, spring break is coming in many places around here in South Florida, where I'm based out of, hey, I'm going to be away. Do I want to have that held at the local service center until I'm back? Do I want to have it diverted to a neighbor, or do I want to sign for it in advance so that I get it without if I'm out? So I think you've got to get the back end side for customer service also giving power to the consumer. And then finally, we're investing heavily in automation that allows us to optimize our last mile delivery through a program that allows us to optimize a service center on any given day and a route on any day, a courier route on any day, to make sure that we can be efficient and effective in this new world where we're going into maybe less dense residential areas for us than maybe the historical downtown cores or urban industrial areas where you had great density. We really want to make sure that our couriers have the best route planned out for them, that it's optimized, and that the information about when they're leaving our station and where they're going is also seamlessly flowing into that on-demand delivery technology, so consumers can track and watch their packages through. I think the next place that we'll be going is looking at how we can move from, say, very simple chat bots that help with customer service to maybe more advanced artificial intelligence, where we can then help more customers who have questions about their packages in a faster, more effective way. But that's still at the early days of development. But all of this is around delighting the consumer who's bought and has things being delivered on demand, so we can keep that e-commerce global theme going, that engine of growth humming while we wait for maybe the recovery in some of the traditional industry sectors.
For over 120 years, Great Dane has been synonymous with reliability and innovation, crafting trailers and truck bodies that endure the test of time. Great Dane is now committed to leading the charge for a greener planet, with innovative products offering eco-friendly solutions. From reducing emissions to increasing efficiency, now more than ever, we're helping our customers lower their carbon footprint and improve their bottom line. Discover how Great Dane provides solutions for today and the future with products that are better for our customers and better for the planet. Visit us at greatdane.com today.
You know, Greg, it's so amazing to hear the logistics within the logistics. You're saying you're in South Florida. We're here in Washington, D.C., and you were just mentioning the preparation, just in just receiving a package and just going through the logistics of that. And I know for one, you know, during spring break, you know, our family is going on vacation and there's a lot of coordinating to do. And that's just for me and a small family. I could just, you know, I couldn't imagine how it could be for a small business owner who have to coordinate packages. But on that, you were describing the automation involved in that. And with the softer shipping volumes for B2B, you know, that's affecting the driver shortage, which is there. You know, there's been a gap, you know, of drivers needed in the trucking industry, and that rate has been slowing a little bit, you know, fairly due to these these softer volumes in B2B. You were mentioning automation, just kind of making everything work in the last mile, which DHL Express is very heavy in. How do you balance the human need to coordinate all this? And then you're speaking of the automation, which is still in the early stages. How do you combine, put that all together seamlessly?
Well, I think to your point, during the pandemic, one of the scarcest resources was people. And mm-hmm. that's probably where we got ahead and recognized we needed to heavily invest in solutions that would help optimize stations and make getting on road easier, because you couldn't rely on a very static workforce who'd been around 30 years and knew the areas cold, especially as we were moving into residential areas that might be new, or as the shift from traditional business centers into needing to deliver in these residential areas, even our veteran couriers don't know those areas as well. So the idea behind the investment in our FarEye and Sincera technologies was to make sure that our couriers, you could literally hire, train, and get people on the road faster, because they didn't have to have the years of knowledge of a loop or an area. The technology would show them where to go. Much like for all of us, when we put into Google Maps or Waze where we're going, we can help them understand. And that allows us to ramp up the hiring and mm-hmm. bring people on and make people effective very quickly. Now, with the volumes down a little bit, we're not still seeing that surge in hiring. So now we can find that great balance of couriers gaining that experience, knowing their areas. And imagine the best of both worlds is having knowledge and experience in an area and technology to help you deliver the route the most effective way.
You know, that's a great point that you make, Greg, about the balancing. I guess this year will be the great year of balancing when it comes to fleets. When we have this particular condition going on right now with lighter volumes and the way that the driver market is going. So, you know, I'd like to change gears a little bit, Greg, with just in this conversation with as we go to sustainability, and mm-hmm. that's a word that's been bantied about. You know, we were just at the Technical and Maintenance Council annual meeting in New Orleans, and you know, sustainability, safety and sustainability has been one of the big buzzwords. I mean, second to automation and electric vehicles, of course. but in the same sense, with sustainability, the demand for that with your customers, you know, it's been influencing the logistics industry for in many ways, in different ways for fleets and providers. From where you're sitting on the top of your company, what are those challenges going forward when it comes to sustainability?
Well, I think while we recognize and you hear that there is rising stakeholder pressure to keep up with the expanding climate crisis and the speed with which clean tech is emerging, the increase in discussions around the buzz acronym ESG, mm-hmm. environmental, social, and governance conversations amongst both big and small and mid-sized companies. You take that with some legislative changes like the Inflation Reduction Act. And ultimately, we're in a period where theoretically the largest investment in energy and climate programs should be going on in the U.S. history. It's clear that sustainability is important. Mm-hmm. Now, the challenge with that, when you talk to small businesses, is what's materializing? And I think we did a survey late in 2023 of more, I think about 2,500 SMEs, and 42% of the respondents said that the investment in sustainability is still an obstacle. So the cost or the price of investing is still too high. And the feeling that I think more than 30% of those respondents said they haven't seen their customers buying into this challenge, meaning they're not willing to pay more for sustainable products and shipping. And so it's that, while everyone says it's important, I think we found that 47% only were willing to invest kind of 1-3% of their operating budget in sustainability practices, and 26 said they're still willing to do nothing at all. So I think that's what we've seen. And so from a very practical standpoint, in we're a big organization with a very strong sustainability commitment to our investors and analysts and stakeholders of being carbon neutral by 2050, with very science-based targets along the way that we need to achieve, including, I think it's, we've got to be 50% of our fleet by 2030, which in markets like Europe, where I'll say sustainability is a little bit more further advanced on both the, I'll say the political, the social, corporate world are all a bit more aligned, that's a little easier than here in the U.S. where we haven't seen that. So for me, I've found that I make the commitment to green the fleet. I put in the orders, but I don't always get the orders delivered. There's still some production challenges around the electric vehicles. I'm still struggling to find a cost-effective, like a reasonably cost-effective vehicle that has the payload, the large kind of like bread truck-sized back that can go 250 miles a day on a charge in all environments. And so I've really only had success to date in urban centers where I can do the smaller vehicles that do less than 100 miles a day. There I've been able to find wins in markets like New York and Palo Alto where that works. I think the other challenge we've been facing, and I think of this for businesses, is our grids in the U.S. and the infrastructure build aren't quite set up fully for a green economy. So if I open a new building, I've been able to choose a location that now is not only good for a driving centroid, but is also on the grid so that I can build it out with the proper charging stations and capabilities. Harder is if I'm in a historical building that's in a really good location at a good cost, I'm finding it hard as I renew those to get them up to pay. So all of these are kind of the economic challenges of greening the fleet. So one of the things we looked at was, where at DHL Express are we creating the most carbon emissions? Yes, the fleet is one of them, but aviation became a big one for us. And what the company did was make a $7 billion to $8 billion commitment around the purchase of sustainable aviation fuel to be put on the global DHL network. And with that, that's our commitment, and we start to green lane segments. So for me, it's a San Francisco to Hong Kong lane segment right now that we do. But we also wanted to offer that to customers.
Okay.
And what we launched in 2023 was a product called Go Green Plus, which makes it easy from a small business to a large business to inset their carbon emissions associated with their shipments by buying into our sustainable aviation fuel pool. And we give them the scientific reporting that backs that up. And, mm-hmm. and we saw this as a great move forward. Now, the challenge is, much like what our SME segment told us, mm-hmm. we haven't seen a huge wave of customers sign up and run to it. Mm-hmm. We're having pockets of success mm-hmm. and we're growing, but still clearly I use the, from a per capita base, I think Norway has the biggest per capita investment in the, from a customer standpoint in Go Green Plus coming out of the gates because mm-hmm. it's very important there. I think we're doing all of the right things, mm-hmm. but there's still a lot of work to do to push towards that, our 2030 interim targets and that 2050 zero emission target.
For over 120 years, Great Dane has been synonymous with reliability and innovation, crafting trailers and truck bodies that endure the test of time. Great Dane is now committed to leading the charge for a greener planet, with innovative products offering eco-friendly solutions. From reducing emissions to increasing efficiency, now more than ever, we're helping our customers lower their carbon footprint and improve their bottom line. Discover how Great Dane provides solutions for today and the future with products that are better for our customers and better for the planet. Visit us at GreatDane.com today.
Yeah, you made a great... I loved your example just with when you were talking about just warehouse locations. And the thing about that is back to what I meant with buzzwords, with sustainability. It can mean a lot of things for a lot of people. And I think that that example that you had used really pinpoints what in your space, what sustainability is and how you are conveying that to your customers. I want to talk about Go Green Plus a little bit more. You were talking about aviation fuel. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, this is sustainable aviation fuel, SAF.
Yes.
That is made from vegetable oils, animal fats, and waste products.
Yeah, bio-waste. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so with that and conveying that to the customers, with this particular product, as if I'm a small business, worried about whether my carrier is green enough, because there are companies out there, and you probably know all too well, just sort of doing the greenwashing, mm-hmm. Hey, we are, just going off of that buzzword, sustainability. But in this venture with Green Go Plus, is the objective and expectation, is that to get the customer involved in your efforts with sustainability? Ultimately, they are, pushing our button or, talking to a customer service assistant. Is that to get them involved in the sustainability journey that DHL Express is on?
Well, yeah, I think the way I would look at it is when a company truly puts forward sustainability goals that are backed by science-based targets like we have to get to zero emissions by 2050, you have to be able to prove throughout your business how you are going to achieve that goal. And that involves mm-hmm. certain things you control directly and things you might not control directly. And one of the things that a company would have is they send shipments to us. And part of that means that they do create carbon emissions. So we're trying mm-hmm. to give them a means to take that part of their business and demonstrate that they are in setting and which a little different than offset, where you're saying, I'm going to plant some trees in a rainforest in yes. the Amazon while I do damage here in the United States. The concept mm-hmm. here is for the shipments that they are sending, they are committing the resources to fund SAF fuel that over time would mean the mm-hmm. products might all fly on planes that have SAF, but at bare mm-hmm. minimum, they are paying for a shipment of equal size and weight to go on one of those sustainable flights that insets the carbon emission in the market that they are in. And we can give them the reporting that backs that up. So it allows them to truly control it either on a per shipment basis by clicking the button and saying, as I produce the shipment, contribute that way, by choosing one of our annualized programs that we've got so you can pay in lump sum. And it, we're allowing people to buy into the pool that we've already mm-hmm. built. And so I guess for us, we stand by our record and the fact that we put the $7 billion into the SAF pool, we've put our money where our mouth is, right? It's, we bought the pool and we're asking them to join us in it to help green the planet in the aviation side. Whilst we do our other part, which is I've got to electrify my fleet, I've got to use wind and solar in my buildings. Those are the parts I've got to fix that I'm not really passing on or asking the customer to pay into. It's more the aviation fuel piece, but it's asking them to come along and join, and we'll give them the reporting that will allow them to show their stakeholders how they are truly not just greenwashing or talking a good game. They are literally paying for it and doing their part to inset.
Well, Greg, one of the last questions I want to ask you before we get out of here, with the talk of sustainability and the efforts that DHL Express is doing in terms of that, let's say we get, I would like to have you, Greg, to put on your analyst hat. Mm-hmm. with that, it's 2030. Everyone has met their emission standards in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. And we're in the effort now where we reached one point of the emissions game. We've enhanced sustainability on some level that we haven't in the last 8 years. Well, I guess in this case it would be 5 years. So, what will be on the horizon when those emission standards are met? Because they will be met. However, diesel is still king. And as you said, there are some small businesses right now that are trying to find the viability and sustainability in either alternative fuels, EVs, or in some mm-hmm. cases, automation. What will be that next mountain to climb?
Well, I think if you look ahead, I do believe that in order to be realistically by 2050, zero emissions.
Oh, 2050.
By 2050. 2030 is an interim where I think that's a recognition mm-hmm. that we'll see the rise of SAF in aviation. We'll see the continued mm-hmm. electrification of fleets. But to truly get to zero emissions, the landscape will have to evolve. That across the planet, the reliance on fossil fuels will have to reduce in order to achieve, if many companies are going to achieve zero emission, right? It does mean what those respondents in small businesses say are true. Number mm-hmm. one, consumers will have to not only want to align with companies because their values are linked around ESG, but be willing to pay maybe a premium for that. We will have to see the infrastructure and investment by governments continue to improve, much like they have in Europe, let's say, where the cost of implementing more sustainable options gets, whilst maybe not the exact same price point or cost point, mm-hmm. gets closer and closer so that it is realistic to continue to invest there. And I mean, I've been in my role since the beginning of 2016. We have come a long way in those 8 or 9 years. And mm-hmm. I think as I look forward, I remain optimistic that we'll continue to progress, that we'll continue to find balance. And for the planet's sake and the sake of future generations, we will continue to evolve and find ways to reduce and improve the climate situation by finding that balance between delivering a return and doing what's right for the planet.
It's definitely going to be a battle in the next 5 to 10 or 20 years when it comes to sustainability and just the overall improvement of the trucking industry. We've been speaking with Greg Hewitt. He is the CEO of DHL Express US. Mr. Hewitt, thank you for coming on to Road Signs. It's been a pleasure.
Michael, thank you for having me. And please let me know when you've got another great topic to discuss like we had today. I'd be happy to come back.
For sure. Before we close, let's take a moment to revisit the previous question. How can logistics optimize sustainability for the trucking industry? A big thanks to DHL Express US CEO, Greg Hewitt, for joining us on the Road Signs program. Hewitt explained DHL's intention to stay ahead of the surge in shipping volumes, fueled by B2B and B2C e-commerce. The introduction of Go Green Plus serves as an effort to provide U.S. small and medium-sized enterprises, the companies driving the e-commerce boom, with sustainable business services. The expansion also provides an opportunity for DHL Express US to show and communicate to their customers the importance of lessening greenhouse gas. As Hewitt mentioned, while the future will be shaped by sustainability, it will also be guided by the innovation of automation and AI that will increase productivity and efficiency in last mile delivery and customer service. And customers are increasingly rewarding companies who are practicing sustainability. Overall, if done right, maintaining it could become a positive driver in a greener and more profitable logistics industry. If you enjoyed this episode of Road Signs, please let others know. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to reach out to the Road Signs team on Twitter at @TTRoadSigns or reach me at Michael V. Freeze. You can email us at share@ttnews.com. We'll read them and respond daily. Also, let us know how we're doing by texting TT Survey to 571-622-0001. And of course, we'll be back soon with a new episode of Road Signs. Until then, I'm Michael Freeze. Thank you for listening.
Did you know you can ask Alexa to open Transport Topics? In just 1 minute, you will hear the biggest trucking headlines of that day. Be prepared and start your morning off right with Transport Topics.